Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for hanging around with us today. It's my pleasure. As always, Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan Pride, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. Hello there.
It's good to have you back.
Thanks. Good to be back. Two in a row now.
How about that? Yeah. You're starting to get a track record here after nine plus years, right?
That's right.
Hey, Joan, you didn't know I was going to talk about this, but I want to bring in just a little bit of current events and talk just for a minute about the Elliot Spitzer issue, the Governor Spitzer issue.
Yes.
Do you have any thoughts on that? As a reporter, do you have any idea, any thoughts on that?
Well, I guess my first idea was I've been going around saying to people, you know, we have the most exciting presidential campaign in memory. Is there anything that could possibly blow that off the front page? I can't think of anything that could. Well,
short of a terrorist attack or something,
yeah,
right?
Right, exactly.
Or a nuclear plant meltdown or something.
This sure has done it, at least for a day or two.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that the main thing I wanted to say is apparently they got the goods on the guy, and it's more than just prostitution. It's apparently there's some federal money laundering,
and it all started in the hop hog office of the IRS on Long Island.
And let me say this: my comments now are not about judging a man's weaknesses or anybody's weaknesses. I'm the last person to be judging anybody else. That's way above my pay grade. But Joan, I will say this: you know how he went after Wall Street.
Yes.
And everybody knows, and I'm no big defender of Wall Street. I've got my problems with Wall Street myself. Me being a Main Street guy, and the issues that come up when there's a conflict between Wall Street and Main Street, and there are a lot of them right now, and
right.
I'm not happy about that. So, but I will tell you this: he went after some people that are friends of mine, and who are on Wall Street. They've got an investment company on Wall Street. They didn't do anything wrong. It was proven ultimately they didn't do anything wrong, but it just about shut their business down for over a year.
Right.
And for nothing, just because he was an overzealous, sanctimonious, self-righteous, intolerant, unforgiving person. And part of what I just described, folks, are what other politicians in New York State have called him. And I guess my point is, you know, when you fly a little too close to the sun, Joan, sometimes you fall out of the sky.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
And overzealous, sanctimonious, self-righteous is there's no way to describe anybody. And I'm not talking about folks, about his what he's being charged with right now. I'm talking about the way he treated other people. He made my friends look like the Bernie Ebers and Jeffrey Skilling. He made them look like those guys.
Right.
And they didn't do anything wrong, and it was proven that they didn't do anything wrong, but they still suffered for it because of what he did to them. And so, you know, it's that when people say, well, you know, we should forgive him for this, that's not the point. It's not what he did. It's how he treated other people when the shoe was on the other foot.
So because he treated other people that way, he should not be forgiven in this instance, in other words.
I'm not talking about being forgiven. That's not my job. I don't get to do that.
No, but you had brought up the issue.
Yeah, and I didn't.
Said
and
people
I
are saying he should be forgiven.
Right.
I'm just trying to tie the two things together.
What I'm trying to say is that if people wonder why there are people who are you know, saying he should resign, he shouldn't be given a second chance. He didn't give other. Why is he different from other people? When he had a chance to give other people the benefit of the doubt, he didn't do it.
Right.
And so he's getting what he's reaping what he sowed, basically.
He might be.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But it's shocking, isn't it? I mean, and apparently this has been going on for 10 years.
Oh, 10. I had heard, too. I didn't
realize
it was 10.
I heard recently that this may have been going on for a long time, and maybe as much as $80,000 or so over that 10-year period.
Yeah. Well, Albany's walking around in a state of shock, apparently.
Yeah, it's amazing. But like you say, Joan, what did I say at the beginning of the year? I said, we're going to be living the Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times.
Yeah, but even more interesting than you could have imagined.
No, I didn't know what was going to happen. Of course I didn't know what was going to happen. But I'll tell you what, Joan, I just had when I contemplated 2008, the hair on the back of my neck just came up just thinking about 2008. There was something there that said, you know what, this is going to be. And I'll tell you something, Joan, I don't think we've finished yet.
I was going to say, I'm sure there's more to come.
I think the Democrats are going to, I mean, they're just, this has got to be, if you're a political reporter, is this nirvana or what?
Oh, yeah, it's heaven. Absolutely.
Well,
Joan,
doesn't
get any better than this.
And you know, there's no way we could, the only way to top this kind of a story, Joan, sex and money laundering and all this kind of stuff, the only way to top that would be a discussion about currencies.
Oh, no.
Right?
Do we have to?
I mean, okay. I'm going to raise our the level of excitement.
That's quite a segue there.
They don't call me the king of segue for nothing, Joe.
Yeah.
The dollar's dramatic slide is scary, or as my grandson says, scary.
Yeah.
The dollar's dramatic slide is scary, Joan. It's part of a nasty downward spiral, Kiplinger says. Now, you're our currency expert, Joan. Tell us about this.
Well, the dollar's been going down pretty fast, and we say it's sending investors running to commodity markets, loading up on oil, gold, grains, etc., because they want higher returns than they're getting from the dollar, and that sort of sends things into a spiral then, because that makes all of those commodities more expensive.
Mm-hmm. So let's see if I can explain about, or Joan, help me explain why. Help me. I don't want to get myself in too deep a hole here. Help me explain why this situation is the case. When people invest in dollar in treasury bills, and hold them for a while, the return is down because the interest rates have been cut, right?
Right.
And when they cash those securities in a year from now or a month from now or whatever, if they keep sliding, then they're going to buy less on the global market than they would have before.
Right.
So it's depreciated, right? So that makes the dollar not a good investment for people who invest in currencies.
Right.
Stand by, 20 till. We're going to continue to sort this out right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Joan Prater is our guest. Stay with us.
Hi, Jim. This is Judy Smolsky, Vice President of Small Business Marketing for IBM. On behalf of all your IBM friends, I want to congratulate you on your 10th anniversary as the Small Business Advocate. IBM is proud to be one of your major sponsors, and we look forward to the next 10 years. Thanks for all you do to support the needs of small businesses everywhere. Have fun, and good luck.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with us. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joan Pride is our guest. And we're talking about the very exciting topic of currency, right, Joan?
Oh, yeah.
now, Joan, I just gave them my version of how the dollar declining hurts, hurts investors and people in other parts of the world, Joan, we're buying currency, buying our currency. I mean, the dollar was king. For how long? For a century, the dollar has been king, and people wanted to have dollar-denominated securities, and they wanted to own our dollars. They wanted many nations had dollars in their storehouse, so to speak, instead of gold, and that's kind of changing a little bit, Joan. And now I was talking to Bill Dunkelberg, who's chief economist with the NFIB, earlier today. And I said, Bill, what do you think about all this? He said, I said, are you worried about the dollar? He said, no. He said, the dollar's going to come back. He said, I actually don't mind it right now because it's helping our manufacturers. It's helping our exporters, right?
Right, right.
It's also helping our tourism, Joan.
That's right. Oh, sure.
People coming here to spend their money instead of us going to Europe.
That's right.
I don't want to go to Europe and spend and lose, you know, it's a dollar, $1.60 against the euro.
$1.60 according to the Kiplinger letter, yeah.
2-1 against the, or 1-2, I should say, against the pound, the British pound. And so, but he says, and here's a good point, Joan. Think about this. Currencies are not measured all by themselves. They're measured as they react with other currencies, compared to other currencies, right?
Not in a vacuum, right?
Because it's an exchange situation,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so what he's saying is, part of what's going on is not so much that our currency is that much weaker. It's just that their currencies are stronger, and he thinks they're overpriced. Ours may be underpriced. And he thinks there's going to be an adjustment, and they'll come back more to parity in the fairly near future.
Well, and we say the same thing too, that we expect a healthy rebound, and we say that it's below the dollar's below a justifiable level right now.
You also say Kiplinger also says the dollar is not in free fall, so don't get excited about that, folks.
Right, right.
But another thing, Joan, is the European version of the Fed is not, they're not in sync, haven't been, the other central banks, I should say, in other countries have not been as in sync with our bank as they could have been.
Okay.
Right?
With regard to
lowering interest rates, when we lowered interest rates, which diminished the strength of our currency, others were either didn't lower theirs, or they were slow to change. And one of them, I'm trying to remember, it seemed like it was Japan, actually raised rates.
Well, and we even say the European Central Bank is more worried about inflation than anything else.
And see, that's the issue right there, Joan.
Yeah.
In the United States, we have the two issues of the inflation or the economy.
Right.
Is it inflation or recession? Those are the two things that banks, central banks, can worry about. The difference is it's two different perspectives, isn't it? Europe is more worried about recession.
Right.
I mean about inflation.
Right.
And the Federal Reserve Bank of the United States is more worried about recession.
Exactly.
And so they've reacted differently. If you're worried about inflation, you'll raise rates. If you're worried about recession, you'll lower rates. And that's exactly what's happened, hasn't it?
Now, we do say that the Bank of England and the Bank of Canada did cut their rates.
Yeah.
So that the dollar has stabilized a bit against those two currencies.
But they were late. They did do that. You're right. But they were not. They didn't do it in sync with our banks, with our central bank.
Well,
they were
better late than never.
They were late. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, the bottom line, though, for small business, Joan, is that prime now is at 6%.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So of course we don't.
That's
most
better.
Of us don't borrow. Most of us don't get to borrow money at prime. Most small business owners have. We live in the world of prime plus, prime plus one, prime plus two, three, etc. But still, Joan, at a time like this when the economy is off a little bit, this is good news for us, for small businesses. And Joan, did you see what happened this week with what the Fed did with the mortgages?
Oh, that it's going to be the lender of last resort, essentially.
Yes,
that it's going to sort of absorb a lot of these losses.
Well,
by
what they're
letting
lenders,
I guess, letting them trade in these securities for either treasuries or I think maybe cash in some cases.
Yeah, and the thing is, they're not selling them. They're using them as collateral. They're going to get them back.
Right.
But what it's doing, Joan, is it's giving those banks time to find out how bad their portfolios are. Bill Dunkelberg explained this in the previous hour to a great degree, so I don't want to sound like I'm taking credit for understanding this. He helped us with this. But what I'm saying is the central bank, our Fed, will take those mortgages in exchange for cash or, as you say, T-bills, and they could then those companies can use those instruments to borrow money to operate on, whereas nobody wanted those loans.
Right.
They couldn't sell those loans. So this is going to give the marketplace time to get things sorted out. And that's the reason why, Joan, you saw the stock market get so excited yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
This is good news. We come back, we're going to talk about some legislation that's coming up and a lot more important stuff for you and me. Stay with us. 29 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Here's Dan Fogelberg to take us off.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. 34 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging around with me. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find the show and the articles and the archives and all the things we do here. And it's all for free. All you got to do is show up. Let you come on in and hang out with us. Use our stuff. It's valuable stuff, folks. It's really important stuff that will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. I hope you use it to your advantage at smallbusinessadvocate.com. If you miss an interview or if you want to go back and listen to something that we've said on the show again, all you got to do is go find the interview, and they're easy to find. And guess what? It's going to get easier because we're rebuilding the website and going to be launching a whole new look very soon. I'm looking forward to that and showing you that. So check all of our stuff out. Also, don't forget to check out AskJim.biz, our knowledge base. AskJim.biz, where you can get small business answers now. Joan Pride is our guest, and she's all over our website, where she has deposited her wisdom with us over the years, and you can go back and listen to those as well. Joan, let's move over and talk about, in this legislative forecast, anything in there that jumps out at you?
Let's see.
The estate tax compromise not going to happen until next year.
Yeah. See, the problem is there's a lot that's not going to happen just because it's one of those kind of years.
Yeah.
Interesting that, you know, you would have thought the energy bill would have passed by now, but there's just too much bickering about major provisions. So
if there's one thing that America ought to be really disgusted with their political class about, Joan, it's the energy policy of this country.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I believe, Joan, that the United States could literally transform itself and revive our dominant position in the global marketplace more than we've ever had before on one issue, and that would be energy. We have the technology and the people and the resources to completely redesign, restructure, reorder energy as we know it in this country. I believe that. And
right.
we're not putting everything we have behind that. And if I believe a political candidate could get elected on that one platform if he knew or she knew what they were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I think it's such an important issue, and you're right, we're just not dealing with it.
Yeah. And it's amazing to me how that's happening.
Yeah.
But
that's right.
Anyway,
another thing that won't happen is immigration. That's a big one. And you would think that there would be some kind of mortgage policy overhaul, but we say no bailout. Maybe that's a good thing. I hope.
No, that actually is a good thing, Joan, because I promise you the government will screw that up. Whatever they do on that, they'll screw it up. It'll be the old baby out with the bathwater thing.
Yeah,
I can tell you that
right now.
So actually, that's kind of good news.
So what will happen? Well, wiretapping authority. This is not one of the burning issues of our time, but
Joan, is this with regard to terrorism?
Well,
or trapping governors?
Well, it says liability compromise soon, so I think it has to do with
the FISA thing,
easing liability for those who place the wiretap.
Oh, is this with regard to the telecom companies, because you know they've gotten themselves between a rock and a hard place here with the Constitution and the administration,
right?
Trying to get information on terrorists.
Yeah,
and they want immunity, and I don't blame them. I'd want immunity too.
Me too.
And they should get it, I think.
If
they can contribute to stopping terrorism, they should get immunity in
cases
like this.
Yeah, well, I guess, and according to us, I guess they will get that this year.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. That's good news.
Yeah.
Joan, let's move over. The Fed's going to meet next week.
Yes.
The Federal Open Market Committee. And what does Kiplinger think is going to happen?
Well, we think they're going to ease some more, that they're going to cut interest rates a half a point. Now, what do you think?
You know, Joan, I would have agreed with you until what happened this week. In other words,
and see, this was written before.
Yes.
We knew this was going to happen.
Exactly, this was written a day or so before.
Okay.
Joan, I guess what I'm getting at. One of the things that's interesting about this Fed, as opposed to Mr. Greenspan's Fed. Mr. Bernanke is identifying new tools.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't he? I mean, think about, I mean, we've always talked about interest rates, that the Fed's only has blunt instruments to affect the economy.
Right.
Mr. Bernanke's finding new tools, isn't he?
You mean in terms of providing liquidity to the mortgage lenders?
And yeah. Easing anxiety over the economy and things
right,
like that.
Right.
He's finding new tools. And I think these are good things. I think this is
sure.
This is better than just having a Johnny One Note kind of thing. You know, I can either lower rates or raise rates. So
right.
I think that I'm not so sure about what's going to happen next week. I got to think about that a little bit more.
Okay.
I better think about it by Tuesday because I'm doing a Fed Watch show on
you
Tuesday.
You better hurry.
20 till right back with Joan Price. Stay with me.
When this old world starts getting me down, and people are just too much for me to face.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. Joan Price is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and I like telling you about their website, folks, because it's a good one. Kiplinger.com. Okay, I'm emphasizing that so you know how to spell it. Kiplinger.com. And lots of good stuff there. If you want more, you need to be a subscriber. And if you subscribe to any of their publications, like the newsletter, the Kiplinger letter, I should say, that Joan and I work off of every week, or sometimes Jim Ostroff, our good buddy, also over there at Jones Utility Infielder over there at Kiplinger. Jim Ostroff is with us also sometimes. And so when we talk about this, we're working off the Kiplinger letter, which is the flagship, been around since 23, comes out
right.
every week,
right.
every Friday. And if you get it in the mail, it comes on Monday. You get it by email, by the way, also on Friday. And then they've got three biweekly letters, the California letter, the tax letter, and the agriculture letter. And Joan, what about that magazine?
Well, it's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine, and it's pretty much self-explanatory, I think. You can get that on newsstands.
Yeah, so check that out, folks, and use it to your advantage. The phone number, what about that phone number?
Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
And you get we got a 30-day free trial going on there, too, don't we?
Yes, we sure
All
do.
All right. Let's move down and talk about energy. A new black gold rush is underway, Kiplinger says. What's this all about?
Well, 100 billion barrels of oil or up to that.
That's a lot.
It's in North Dakota, but it's going to be hard to get to it. That's the problem. We say it's locked away in rocks that are buried miles underground in something called back in play. So that's going to be tough, but I guess
Go ahead.
We think that new technology is there, that technology has progressed enough that we might be able to get to it, but it's going to take a few years.
It's twice the size of Alaska's reserve, you report.
Yeah, yeah.
Joan, I reported on this find about 4 months ago with one of my energy experts in the Brain Trust, reported on this show, this find in the Dakotas. And here's the good news. If this is the same find that he was talking about, and I'm 99% sure that it is, this is on private land. This is not. This does not have to be approved by the government.
Okay.
See, that's the big news about this find.
Right.
Is it's not locked up in ANWR, some national, place where Thumper and Bambi play. You know, the environmentalists can get all excited about. This is on private land, and that's going to help lower the barriers to getting to this stuff.
Yeah.
100 billion barrels, Joan.
Boy, that would be nice.
Think about this, Joan. If we could focus on things like that, drilling in ANWR, drilling for gas off the coast of Florida, for example. And this could be done without any kind of an unsightly type of an infrastructure. Joan, we've got the energy here at home. If we would, talking back to the energy policy, if we could just say, let's use our own resources, and let's simultaneously create alternative energy. Let's find the one that makes more sense. And ethanol is not one of them, by the way, in my opinion. We could do this in this country. We just don't have the will to do it, do we?
Well, we certainly don't have the will to do it yet, but I'm also wondering if this find kind of throws off the people who have been saying that we may be running out of oil reserves, and I don't mean tomorrow, but, you know, there's that school of thought that says we may have used up more than half of the world's oil reserves.
Right.
And I
it's
wonder
called,
if,
it's
if,
called peak oil.
Peak, that's it, thank you.
I'm
wondering if this sort of blows up that theory.
Peak oil, folks, is the day that we get to midpoint, where we've used up at that moment at peak oil. At that moment, we've used up all the petroleum in our global reserves, and we start now depleting it down to zero. And then, of course, ultimately, you start running out.
And there are people who believe we've passed that point or are at that point now.
Right, but I've been reading some people lately. And talking to people lately that I have a lot of confidence in, they're saying that we're not there yet.
Okay.
And that we may be a long way off from
that. Well, and once you read this, you really think, well, maybe we aren't there yet. But, boy, yep. Wouldn't it be nice to be less dependent on foreign oil?
Well, Joan, how about just oil, period?
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm getting at. I think we need to do two things. We need to become less dependent on foreign oil and on oil.
Yeah.
Over time. We can do that. We have the ability to do that in this country if we just had the will. Joan, let's move down and talk about technology. Google's now got a new spam filtering software, don't they?
Well, it does, and we say that prices will come down because of it. And
yep.
that I didn't realize Google bought Postini, which is, of course, a firewall site, and it provides firewalls to a lot of companies. And if prices come down as much as we say they're going to, that's going to be great, and there's going to be competition, and we say competitors will try to match these lower prices.
Mm-hmm. And anybody, Joan, and you guys talk about some spam opportunities here, anybody who can really figure out a way to kill spam is going to have the key to the world, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely.
I have this dream, Joan, that I'm in the middle of like Yankee Stadium or somewhere like that, the Super Bowl, some Super Bowl site, and I'm standing on the 50-yard line with a spammer, and the stands are full. It's at the middle of the Super Bowl, right? It's halftime of the Super Bowl, and I'm standing in the middle, and I say, "Ladies and gentlemen, this man is a spammer," and then I start running like crazy because they're coming out of the stands. They're going to kill this guy. Stand by, quick break, 10 till, more to come after these messages. Joan Pride and I will be right back. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for staying with us. Thanks for hanging around with us. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And folks, I'm not deluded. I know why you're here. You're here because of Joan. Right, Joan?
I'm not arguing with you. I'm agreeing.
Joan, an interesting thing happened this week with
Well,
there was one of the many interesting things that happened this week, Joan.
That's better.
But it did involve a company that had been involved in a sex scandal, and that's Boeing. You know, they had their problems a while back.
Oh,
and
did they? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, they had a problem. It was one of their leaders got there. Anyway, but this it does connect to what happened this week in a way. But there's a big tanker contract that the Air Force that the Pentagon is letting right now. And this is where. You know, you folks, you've seen these movies where they do the refueling with a big tanker. And
is that the mid-air refueling that they
exactly,
do?
Exactly, that kind
okay.
of thing, yeah.
That's really neat.
Exactly. And so they've used different kinds of aircraft for those. They've used the 747. They've used the DC-10, what we used to call the old DC-10. And a lot of different aircraft have been used for that. But there's a contract out now, and apparently... The Boeing got this contract once. Joan, to help me with this, there was something that happened that they had to pull it back because it was some kind of a conflict that happened. I don't remember exactly what happened. They pulled it back, and so the Congress got involved and made them produce a better a better sort of a system for getting this bid, and as a result, they got another bid in from Northrop? A partnership between Northrop and the parent company of EADS, which is a parent company of the European what's the term, Joan?
It's the European consortium. It's the European Defense Consortium. Maybe it's Air Defense.
But it's part of something. of the same company that makes the Airbus.
Right. Right.
It's the same group, but a lot of this is French. You know how the French kind of get people like me. They get excited about the French being involved. But it's Northrop is the other one, and they actually got the bid over Boeing.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
They rejected Boeing. Air Force rejected Boeing. So it's a big deal.
It's a stink, Joan. It's becoming a stink.
Yes,
but what's interesting about this, Joan, is that it's actually coming down in a way to who has more clout in Congress as to where the jobs are going to go, because obviously if it's Boeing, a lot of the jobs are going to go to Washington State.
Right.
If it's the Northrop partnership, a lot of the jobs are going to go to Alabama, where Senator Shelby is the senator from that state, and and Joan, he is the ranking member, the ranking Republican, I think, on that committee, isn't he?
I think he must be, sure.
I think he is.
Because he used to be the chairman.
I think that's correct.
Yeah.
So, Joan, this is an interesting thing. I mean, again, we continue to live the Chinese curse, Joan.
We're in interesting times, all right.
Very interesting.
But we think the Air Force is not going to back down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think they've got specifications on their side, Joan.
Yeah.
From what I can tell, the Northrop EADS submission met their specifications better than the Boeing specifications.
Yeah, well, and what else can they do?
It's going to be interesting. Yeah. So how this works. But
that's true.
I think we shouldn't get too excited about the Northrop partnership, like if it was the Chinese partnership or something like that.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Russians or Venezuelans, Joan. I think that's different, don't you?
Right, or Iranians, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Joan, quickly move over and talk to us about health care. Over on page 4, family doctors are going to be more efficient, et cetera.
Yeah, they're going to offer faster service, easier access, which I think is very important, because it used to be the family doctor was the family doctor, but now you can't even get through to the doctor when you need to talk to him because
Dr. Welby is a figment of our past history, isn't it?
Oh, it's gone. It's long gone. But we think, and there's been competition from these things called mini clinics, and that so family practice is going to be more family oriented and more designed around the family.
What's an e-visit, Joan?
An e-visit, I kind of like this, that you can talk to the doctor over the web for $20, so you don't have to go in all the time.
So you can log in and hear, take 2 aspirin and call me in the morning. Is that what you're saying?
Right, exactly, because a lot of things can be diagnosed without having to see the patient.
Exactly. Yeah. Let me tell you something, Joan. In time, there will be a lot of these kinds of e-visits.
I think.
And it's going to change history, change the way we think about medicine. Hey, Joan, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you. Thanks.
We'll see you next time. Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, with the Kiplinger Editors. I'm Jim Blassingame. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, as I said, and you're who you are. Thank you for being with me. I appreciate it.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.